Turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 15. Joshua, chapter 15. We've just seen that the Lord has, through Joshua, began giving the inheritance to those west of the Jordan. We saw Caleb receiving his particular territory as part of Judah. Now it comes to Judah specifically in chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read the entire chapter. Give your attention to the Word of God. Now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southward to the wilderness of Zin, at the extreme south. Their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akrabim, and continued to Zin. Then went up by the south of Kadesh Barnea, and continued to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and turned about to Karka. It continued to Asmon and proceeded to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your south border. The east border was the Salt Sea, as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border of the north side was from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan. Then the border went up to Beth Hogla and continued on the north of Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan and the son of Reuben. The border went up to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned northward toward Gilgal, which is opposite the ascent of Adummim, which is on the south of the valley. And the border continued to the waters of En-Shemesh and it ended at En-Rogel. Then the border went up to the valley of Ben-Hinnom to the slope of the Jebusites on the south, that is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain, which is before the valley of Hinnom, to the west, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim, toward the north. From the top of the mountain, the border curved to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah, and proceeded to the cities of Mount Ephron. Then the border curved to Baalah, that is, Kiriath-Jearim. The border turned about from Baalah westward to Mount Seir, and continued to the slope of Mount Jearim in the north. That is, Cheshelon, and went down to Beth Shemesh and continued through Timnah. The border proceeded to the side of Ekron northward. Then the border curved to Shikkeron and continued to Mount Baalah and proceeded to Jabneel, and the border ended at the sea. The west border was at the Great Sea, even its coastline. This is the border around the sons of Judah, according to their families. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba. Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron. Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Aksa, my daughter, as a wife." Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as a wife. It came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" And she said, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families. Now the cities at the extremity of the tribe of the sons of Judah toward the border of Edom in the south were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagur and Kinah and Dimona and Adabda and Kadesh and Hazor and Ithnan, Ziph and Telam and Be'aloth, and Hazor Hadata, and Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, and Shema, and Malada, and Hazar Gada, and Heshmon, and Beth Pelet, and Hazar Shual, and Beersheba, and Bizothia, Baala, and Eim, and Ezim, and Eltalad, and Cheshil, and Horma, and Ziklag, and Madmana, and Sansana, and Labaoth, and Shilhim, and Ain, and Rimon, and all 29 cities with their villages. In the lowland, Eshtaol, and Zora, and Ashna, and Zanoa, and Enganim, Tapua, and Enam, Jarmuth, and Adulam, Saka, and Azekah, and Sha'araim, and Adiathaim, and Gedera, and Gederathaim, 14 cities with their villages. Zanan, and Hadashah, and Migdalgad, and Dilion, and Mitzpah, and Jakthiel, Lachish, and Baskath, and Eglon, and Kabon, and Lamas, and Chitlish, and Gerderoth, Beth Dagon, and Ma'na'amah, and Makkada, 16 cities with their villages. Libna, and Ether, and Ashan, and Iftah, and Ashna, and Nezib, and Ke'ilah, and Akzib, and Ma'esha, 9 cities with their villages. Ekron with its towns and its villages, from Ekron even to the sea, all that were by the side of Ashdod with their villages. Ashdod, its towns and its villages. Gaza, its towns and its villages, as far as the brook of Egypt and the Great Sea, even its coastline. In the hill country, Shamir and Jatir and Soko and Dana and Kiriath Sana, that is Debir, and Anab and Eshtama and Anim and Goshen and Holon, and Gilo, 11 cities with their villages. Arab and Duma and Ashan and Janum and Beth Tapua and Afekah and Humta and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zeor, 9 cities with their villages. Ma'an, Carmel, Ziph, and Juta, and Jezreel, and Jokda'am, and Zanoa, Cain, Gibeah, Timnah, 10 cities with their villages. Halhul, Beth Zur, and Gador, and Ma'arath, and Beth Anath, and El Tekan, 6 cities with their villages. Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Medin, and Sekakah, and Nibshan, and the city of Salt, and Engedi, 6 cities with their villages. Now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites live with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Well, that is the good word of the Lord God Almighty. Joshua 15 is kind of long, as you can see, at least to read, because we can't speak Hebrew very well. None of us can. If we were to pick a Bible randomly, if we were thinking of a verse or a chapter that we'd like to read, we know about, that we'd want to read, we would probably not pick this chapter, would we? It's hard to read, and it's kind of just about geography. It's kind of boring to some people, but it should not be boring to you, because this is the word of the Lord God. And this is showing us, as we think about the word, what the word says, that all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture, Joshua 15, is breathed out by the Lord God Almighty. This is his word, and it's powerful, and it's good for his people. As the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is profitable for you, for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Even Joshua 15. As we see here, we see the Lord's promises being fulfilled. Every detail, every marker of the boundaries given to Judah is one juicy fulfillment of God's word proving over and over and over his faithfulness to God's people. Our God keeps his word. He gives land to a rebellious and wicked people, to Israel. They didn't deserve it. We've seen in the as they traveled through the wilderness and for various other reasons, but by the grace of the Lord, he grants it to them. And that's what we kind of see in the first 12 verses. Well, the first 13 verses 13 through 19, we see Caleb, the conqueror, who's those whom he set out to conquer in verse 12 of the last chapter, we see that he conquered them, don't we? He didn't just have faith in the Lord that the Lord wanted these people to be defeated and that Caleb could then just sit back and relax and let the Lord take over. No, he called upon the Lord, as we saw last chapter. He had an active faith, and he called the Lord to deliver those enemies over to him, if it be the Lord's will. And therefore, Caleb goes to war. He was active in his faith, and the Lord gave him the land, and the people were conquered. Praise the Lord. Now, finally, in the rest of the chapter, we see the inheritance of Judah given to them by families, in their individual families. This section is boring to the world's eye, but it should be wonderful news to us. Do not skip over this section of Scripture. Don't do it. You see the other sections of Scripture very similar to this when it talks about, even in Joshua, but also like the genealogies and things like this. Don't skip over these things. As Israel read this, would read the book of Joshua years later, or hear it read, they would be reminded of the details. They would be reminded of their own family history. They would be reminded of what God gave them as an inheritance. That they didn't just receive an idea of their inheritance, but they received an actual inheritance with real facts. That their borders went from this city, and it went to this stone, and this boundary of water, and all these different details. That these, what God gives to his people in this, and the details, is real, not just ideas, but they're real facts, they're real estates, it's a real inheritance. The same is true of you. You are to be reminded here of your full possession of the new heavens and the new earth, that not just some void, it's not just an idea of God's grace that he'll give you eternal life, but he gives you the details, many details. Maybe not what you think is enough, but it is enough for you. He gives you many details about the new heavens and the earth, and the new heavens and the new earth. He doesn't, as we often like to think, we will go to heaven. But he gives you details. It's not just the idea of heaven. He shows his people that when you die, Christian, you will go to be with the Lord. You'll go to be with Jesus. That he will, as we think of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be mansions, and he gives you tons and tons of details about what it will look like. It will be the redemption of your bodies, and more details, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we have here is real facts. It proves that what God promised comes true. And when he fulfills his promises, that it's real. They're real details, real facts. So we are to trust in the Lord's promises, believe in his faithfulness, and hope in things that are, in fact, real, that have facts. That's what we are called to from this chapter. And so let's pray and ask God that he would reveal such things to us in these times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promises that you make. As we look back to the promises made to Abraham, that he would have a land flowing with milk and honey from him would come that, and we see it now being fulfilled, as we have seen in the past chapters as well. That you have given to your people a land. And as Abraham looked forward to a heavenly country, we too must look forward to that heavenly country that is given to us, his people, already as an inheritance. That you don't just give us the idea that there's some type of heaven up there and it's just there and we don't really know anything about it. No, you actually give us facts about it. You give us details about the new heavens and the new earth and the city of God, that there is God and the Lamb, and there's no need for a temple or for light, because the Lord God and the Lamb are the light, and they are the temple. And Father, we thank you for giving us these things. Thank you for the promises. So we pray that we would trust the promises, those promises that have not come to fulfillment yet. At least not in our eyes. We pray that we would trust in them. When your promise says that you will work all things for our good, we pray that we would trust that now. For some who are going through difficult situations, people in their physical bodies, they've come up against physical hurt, whether in their driving and their cars, and there's with Mary Ashley and her slight accident. And we praise you that you kept her, and you are working this for her good. For Dina and her back that was hurting this past week, once again, we praise you that you healed her. And this is all these pains. This is a discipline. Even those chronic illnesses with Sharon and Bob and Marie, and the cancer that you have for Greg Nightingale and the Gaspers father and others, Lord. All these people who struggle with their illnesses or cancers, Lord. Father, you use them for our good. May we trust in your promises. May we trust in your faithfulness. We've seen over and over through the scriptures how you are faithful. And never once are you unfaithful. But you are the God who is good to your people, always gracious, always merciful. In all things, even in discipline, you love us. So, Father, we pray that we would continually remember your faithfulness to us, your covenant faithfulness, as we think of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross, and how through that you were faithful to your people, that you have called out of darkness and into a marvelous light through his gift to us. And Father, we thank you for real facts, that all of Scripture is not just some theory, creation, and being created in 6 days and literal days is not just some manifestation of some person's thoughts, but they are facts. It actually happened that way. As we read through all of Scripture, we have a testimony, a witness to what happened in through creation and through the fall and through the early part of the nation of Israel, even to the prophets and the judgments that you brought because they were unfaithful to your covenant. You were still faithful to them. And you give us the history that happened there, and also through the New Testament and the Gospels. You have given us real facts about Jesus and his life here on the earth. You've given us a history of real facts of the early church and the book of Acts and the letters of Paul and Peter and John and even others, Lord. And you give us real facts about things that haven't even happened yet in Revelation and other apocalyptic literature throughout Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word which is always good to us. That gives us real facts, real things to believe in, and not just some theories. We thank you that we are the only true religion based on true facts. And that the only religion that is not based on works. Because we know in our works we would die. And we would fail because of what we learned this morning in Genesis with Adam. But Lord, a gospel, a religion that is based on Christ and his grace and mercy to us, your people. He even has adopted us into his family and made us children of the living God, which we can cry out, Abba, Father. We don't have to just call out to God or to the Lord, but we can say, Father. Father, hear our prayers and answer our prayers according to your will. And uplift those who are sick, uplift those who are hurting, who are going through trials and difficult circumstances. because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the God who is the healer, and the God who will take away all sorrow and all pain and all tears. In His name we pray. Amen.